A warm welcome then to our covenant service at the beginning of another new year. All the words that you'll need will be projected up on the screen, both in terms of the prayers and the responses and the liturgy before we receive bread and wine, but also the hymns too. When we come to receive bread and wine much later in the service, then you'll be invited forward and to receive standing, to receive the bread and then the wine from myself and from Ruth. And then in your own time and when you're ready, because there is no rush, for you to place your empty glass in the basket at the end of the communion rail before you return to your seat. Okay, you'll be guided through those movements. God is here as we, his people, meet to offer praise and prayer. We stand together to sing hymn number 25 from Singing the Faith, if you have the book.
Us, who continually preserves and sustains us, who has loved us with an everlasting love, and given us the light of the knowledge of his glory in the face of Jesus Christ.
Blessed be God forever.
Glory to Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who though he was rich, yet for our sake became poor, and was tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. He proclaimed the good news of the kingdom and was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He was raised from the dead and is alive forever, and has opened the kingdom of heaven to all who trust in him, who is seated at God's right hand in glory and will come to be our judge. Glory to the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, by whom we are born into the family of God and made members of the body of Christ, whose witness confirms us, whose wisdom teaches us, whose power enables us, who will do for us more than we can ask or think.
Blessed be God forever.
To the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be praise and glory forever.
Amen.
God of grace, through the mediation of your Son, you call us into a new covenant. Help us, therefore, to draw near with faith and join ourselves in a perpetual covenant with you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
We turn then to our readings for this morning, the first from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, and then from John's Gospel, John chapter 15.
A reading from Isaiah. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honoured in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, Do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called in my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Amen.
The reading from the Gospel, St. John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. I am the real vine, and my Father is the gardener. He breaks off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and he prunes every branch that does not bear fruit, so that it will be clean and bear more fruit. You have been made clean already by the teaching I have given you. Remain united in me, and I will remain united to you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It can do so only if it remains in the vine. In the same way, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. Whoever does not remain in me is thrown out like a branch and dries up. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, where they are burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you will ask for anything you wish, and you will have it. My Father's glory is shown by your bearing much fruit, and in this way you become my disciples. I love you just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. So I wonder how you are feeling coming to this covenant service today. It's a service which brings us challenges, certainly, but also the truths within it give us hope and comfort and encouragement. So to help us in our thinking, I'm going to offer you a couple of images. I don't know whether any of you watch breakfast TV. You don't have to admit it if you don't. The TV seems to have been on in our house far more in the last month than ever before, I think, because I'll blame it all on Jeff, because, you know, I have a husband that's not so well. So we have had breakfast TV on occasions. And over the past days, they've been looking at tattoos. People who have either a single one with a very special meaning, or people who are covered in them. So now is your time to admit, if you are brave enough, if you have a tattoo. Oh, wow, thank you. Are you willing to say anything about it?
Yes, it was put up by my grandson at Christmas and the bloody thing won't come off.
Wonderful. Well, I've given myself one as well, but I'll show you that later. People use tattoos for all sorts of reasons. Sometimes it is that they want to express themselves in this particular art form. They want to create their own identity. Perhaps it's to cover a scar. Perhaps it's to remember a loved one. Perhaps it's to provoke a response or to deliver a message.
A lot of people have a tattoo because of a relationship, of a love for another human, or a passion that they have for a hobby or a place. Perhaps it's a reminder for themselves about something that has happened, good or bad, that they've overcome. To let everyone else know what is important to them. Of course, over time, some people may regret that decision if their relationship has gone sour or their skin has become wrinkly. Tattoos are meant to be permanent, and to remove it can be painful and expensive. When the people of Israel were in exile, they felt that God had forgotten them, and they had lost their identity. And not in the passage that we heard from Isaiah, but in another chapter, in Isaiah 49, we read God's response. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. And the walls are the walls of Zion or Jerusalem. And this is part of that old covenant that we read about in the Old Testament. But through Jesus, we enter into that new covenant that is also prophesied. A covenant that is open to all people, all races, and not only the Jews. Because as Jesus himself reminds us, we are all precious to him. Each of us are known by him, by God. And in the Isaiah passage that we did hear, we reminded of that too. You are precious and honoured in my sight. And these words are spoken to the people in exile. I chose this passage before the events of the past week, a flood, a fire. And so this is a very challenging passage to read today, when we know how much damage they have done. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And we just have to look at our televisions and our newspapers to see how fires have raged and are still raging, how floods occur and do immense damage. But perhaps we need to read this in the context of the New Testament too, and turn to passages like that of Romans 8, when we are assured that nothing separates us from the love of God. And yes, our earthly life can be damaged and taken away, our properties destroyed, but nothing external can destroy our relationship with God and our eternal future. For Paul reminds us, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, he says, neither death nor angels, neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are precious to God, as is every individual on this earth. The covenant service is about our relationship with God. Any covenant is about a relationship between two parties with that element of commitment within it. It could be about land or business or personal relationships. And within this commitment, we're reminded how God shows that commitment to us through Jesus, through his death and resurrection and living presence with us in the Holy Spirit. But today is also that opportunity for us to think about our part in that covenant relationship and our commitment, whether that's the first time or whether it's something we live through every year or even every day. So let's go back to those marks, tattoos that some people put on their bodies. And we think about Jesus' death and those scars that were on his body when he revealed himself alive again to his disciples, the scars on hands and feet and side. We sometimes wear a cross, don't we, round our necks, but that can be taken off, the significance can be forgotten. What about some permanent mark on your body to remind you of what God has done for us? It's so small, you won't be able to see. I marked myself with a permanent marker, the sign of the cross on my hand. And I know it will go. And I would have to think very seriously before making it very permanent. But what helps you remember? Jesus said, as he spoke to his disciples, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." That should be our permanent marker that shows us to be his disciples, that shows who we are as we relate to one another, that shows who we are in our relationship with God as we relate to one another. Within our relationships with people, there's often that element of give and take. In our strong relationships, in our family relationships, with our good friends, we can have that commitment together, but there's always give and take, and sometimes that's very one-sided. Sometimes it's mutual. When we look at that relationship with God, I suppose inevitably, God gives us far more than we can ever give to God. He gives us so much. He gives us those words of encouragement that we've looked at already, those words of comfort that I will never leave you, do not be afraid, I am with you, nothing can separate me, can separate you from me, from my love. But God does want something from us. And in Micah we read one of those verses that gives us a clue. This is what he requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So although within this covenant we have that great comfort and encouragement, we also very much have a challenge. A challenge to find our real purpose in life, to bring glory to God in whatever we do, in whoever we are, and in all of our relationships. And our New Testament reading reminds us again of what that is founded on. the relationship of the branches to the vine being tended by a gardener. Have you ever grown grapes, or does anyone have a vineyard? Another clue to my TV habits of the week, there was a question on Richard Osman's House of Games about how many vineyards there now are in the UK. And I can't remember. So I googled it, and in July 2024, there was a press release when the UK number of vineyards surpassed the 1,000 milestone mark. But I don't know a lot about vineyards, but apart from what I read in this passage. But to give you a slightly different image, how many of you, instead of vineyards, have got a tree in their garden? Quite a few of us, I guess. We see them all around. And we know that trees have roots. Roots that draw up the water from the ground. And some trees can absorb between 10 and 150 gallons of water a day. They need it to be stable, to be healthy, to grow fruit, whatever that fruit may be. And if we think of ourselves as a tree, we need also to draw up that water. Jesus said, "I am the living water," for us to be healthy spiritually, to know that we are receiving all that we need, not just a sip now and again. Trees also look for the light. And we see how some trees grow so tall because they have to grow tall to find the light that they also need. I mentioned challenges, and I was challenged after the carol service that I took a few weeks ago here. And I was challenged by somebody about a line in a hymn that we'd sung. Hark the herald angels sing, hail the Son of righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Why is it spelt S-U-N, Son of righteousness, rather than S-O-N, Son of righteousness? I knew there was a scriptural reference somewhere, and I'm sure some of you would know exactly where to go for it. I had to go home and do my homework. And it's from Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, where it says, "You who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings." We are drawn to that Son, and the Son is drawn to us to give healing as we grow in him. And Jesus said, "Abide in me, remain in me, be connected to me through your roots, through the sun that shines on you. And the branches will bear fruits, the fruits of love, and all those other fruits of the Spirit that you may know of by heart." But they, the people who look at us, who see us, who know us, will know that we are his disciples if we display the love that comes through him to us. May that be our experience. And as we share in this covenant today, we do it for ourselves, we're saying I, but we're also in it together. We're sharing this service together, and may that in itself be an encouragement. There are challenging words within it, and as I read it through again earlier, I was reminded of how when I retired, people would say to me, "Well, you can do what you want now." And the covenant tells us something very different, doesn't it? It reminds us that as we pray, we are saying, wherever you want me, whatever you want me to do. And sometimes I can please myself and please you, but sometimes I need to say no to myself in order to bring glory to God. So tattoos and trees. As we turn to the covenant shortly, may we know that we are committing ourselves to one who will never let us down, will never leave us alone to cope with life's demands, one who loves us with that everlasting love. And know too that the power to do all these things is given to us in Christ, who strengthens us. So we sing our next hymn. God made a covenant with the people of Israel, calling them to be a holy nation, chosen to bear witness to his steadfast love by finding delight in the law. The covenant was renewed in Jesus Christ our Lord, in his life, work, death, and resurrection. In him, all people may be set free from sin and its power, and united in love and obedience. In this covenant, God promises us new life in Christ. For our part, we promise to live no longer for ourselves, but for God. We meet, therefore, as generations have met before us, to renew the covenant which bound them and binds us to God. Let us then seek forgiveness for the sin by which we have denied God's claim upon us. Let us pray. God of mercy, hear us as we confess our sins. For the sin that has made us slow to learn from Christ, reluctant to follow him, and afraid to bear the cross. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, forgive.
For the sin that has caused the poverty of our worship, the formality and selfishness of our prayers, our neglect of fellowship and the means of grace, and our hesitating witness for Christ. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, forgive.
For the sin that has led us to misuse your gifts, evade our responsibilities, and fail to be good stewards of your creation. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, forgive.
For the sin that has made us unwilling to overcome evil with good, tolerant of injustice, quick to condemn, and selfish in sharing your love with others. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, forgive.
And we say together, have mercy on me, O God, in your constant love, in the fullness of your mercy, blot out my offences, wash away all my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Give me the joy of your help again, and strengthen me with a willing spirit. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, to all who truly repent, this is his gracious word. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Thanks be to God. We sing the hymn, Come, Let Us Use the Grace Divine. Sisters and brothers in Christ, let us again accept our place within this covenant, which God has made with us and with all who are called to be Christ's disciples. This means that, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we accept God's purpose for us and the call to love and serve God in all our life and work. Christ has many services to be done. Some are easy, others are difficult. Some bring honour, others bring reproach. Some are suitable to our natural inclinations and material interests. Others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves. In others, we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. Yet the power to do all these things is given to us in Christ who strengthens us. Therefore, let us make this covenant of God our own. Let us give ourselves to him, trusting in his promises and relying on his grace. Eternal God, in your faithful and enduring love, you call us to share in your gracious covenant in Jesus Christ. In obedience, we hear and accept your commands. In love, we seek to do your perfect will. With joy, we offer ourselves anew to you. We are no longer our own, but yours. I am no longer my own, but yours. Your will, not mine, be done in all things, wherever you may place me, in all that I do, and in all that I may endure, when there is work for me, and when there is none, when I am troubled, and when I am at peace. Your will be done, when I am valued and when I am disregarded, when I find fulfillment and when it is lacking, when I have all things and when I have nothing. I willingly offer all I have and am to serve you as and where you choose. Glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. May it be so forever. Let this covenant now made on earth be fulfilled in heaven. Amen. Please be seated. As we have entered this covenant not for ourselves alone, but as God's servants and witnesses, let us pray for the church and for the world. Loving God, hear us as we pray for your holy Catholic Church. Make us all one
that the world may believe.
Inspire and lead all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world. Establish justice and peace among all people. Have compassion on all who suffer from any sickness, grief, or trouble.
Deliver them from their distress.
We praise you for all your saints who have entered your eternal glory.
Bring us all to share in your heavenly kingdom.
And so let us pray in silence, but particularly remembering today all those affected by the accidents and deaths on the A19 yesterday. And praying too for all those who are bereaved at this time and affected by floods and fire. And so we pray in silence for our own needs and for those of others. Lord, our God, you have helped us by your grace to make these prayers, and you have promised through Christ our Lord that when two or three agree in his name, you will grant what they ask. Answer now your servants' prayers according to their needs. In this world, grant that we may truly know you, and in the world to come, graciously give us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.